Internationalization is paying off for Growthpoint. The country's largest primarily listed REIT reported a 5.9% rise in interim distributable income, largely driven by the company's investments in Australia and Central Eastern Europe, while the domestic market recorded no growth. The group expects little to no improvement in that portfolio this year and says it's on track to meet its goal of 30% offshore exposure instead. The company's CEO, Norbert Sasser, joins us in studio now to unpack some of the detail behind the numbers, which informs that internationalization strategy. Thanks so much, Norbert, for joining us this evening. So you've said today that you're going to be relying on your international properties for growth moving forward, with little to no growth expected from your South African portfolio. But that was always the point of developing your international arm to the extent that you have, right? Are you surprised? Surely macroeconomic data has been priming you for this already.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, the strategy of internationalization and generating new revenue streams, you know, we embarked on that 2014 already. I think we sort of had a bit of a little bit of foresight in terms of the tough domestic economy, which is, you know, playing out at the moment. And we developed a number of strategies. In fact, internationalization was one. The establishment of a trading and development arm was another one. Fund management was a third, and then, you know, optimizing the existing South African portfolio was a fourth leg to that. So took a year and a half or so to implement, but since then, obviously, we've invested incrementally more into our Australian business, which has really done exceptionally well. And then about a year and a half ago now, almost 2 years ago, we started investing into Central Eastern Europe as well. We now have investments in essentially Poland and Romania. And those, together with the trading and development element of the strategy, have come through and saved the day for us, I think, in this particular set of results.
Notwithstanding that foresight, Norbert, you highlight deteriorating conditions in the local real estate sector. Are South Africa's property fundamentals deteriorating at a faster pace than you had been expecting?
It has accelerated, absolutely. So, I mean, we always thought that, you know, there would be a moderate deterioration. There's no doubt that in the last, I'd say, 12 to 18 months, we've seen the deterioration rapidly increase. I don't think we ever really foresaw that we would get to this stage now where literally all three sectors, retail, office and industrial, are sort of in decline, where the metrics are negative, where we're seeing negative reversions in on rent renewal in all three sectors. You know, we always felt, okay, office was leading the way, it was weak, and, you know, maybe retail was weak-ish, but it would sort of just sort of follow a slowish trend down. But I think the answer to your question is absolutely.
So how are you managing your South African exposure as far as tenant negotiations are concerned, so that you aren't faced with extreme vacancies at the end of the day? Because it is a very fine line that you've got to negotiate here, establishing just how much of a compromise it's all worth at the end of the day. And illustrative of that, I guess, is your decline on Edcon's request for rental reductions.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think right now we are what I would sort of call loosely price takers. I mean, it's fair to say the market is very competitive. So it's never been as competitive as it is now. We've got 30-odd listed property companies. Those are just the listed ones. They mind private and unlisted and you know, all competing for the same users. So, you know, we literally are focused on keeping our tenants in the premises where we have them in our premises already. We're trying to do whatever we can to keep them there. And obviously then go out and attract as many of our competitors' tenants into our buildings as we possibly can do as well. There is obviously a limit as to what you can do at the end of the day. I mean, you can't be offering completely free space for an extended period of time. But I think it's really a tenant's market at the moment, and they've got a lot of choice. And we just got to do what we got to do to try and attract as many as we can.
Interesting option that you took as far as Edcon is concerned, because you've provided it with a cash injection of 110 million rand in return for an equity stake. What's the thinking there, buying into a distressed business? Because some of the commentary that I've come across, and some argue that it is a textbook opinion, but the opinion is that none of the SA REITs should have been investing in Edcon. It's not their core business to choose which tenants should survive or not through using shareholder funds. So how are you explaining or making sense of the decision you've taken?
Sure. In this environment, you know, it's fair to say that We don't want to be offering rent-free periods where we don't have to, and we don't want to be offering any significant rent reductions where we don't have to. The Edcon request for rent reduction we thought was something which could have a material impact on the core of what our business is all about. And we took a stance that, you know, we're not prepared to offer rental reductions, because once you give a rental reduction of that magnitude to, you know, one of your key clients, then, you know, what stops the other key clients, you know, from knocking on the door for exactly the same treatment? Now, we took the decision ultimately that we should participate in the rescue, if you want, of Edcon, in as much as Edcon, to our mind, was it had potentially sort of systemic risk to the sector, you know, to the whole retail landscape. You know, it's still, Edcon still occupy between 8% and 10% of almost every single shopping center, no matter whether it's a big one or a small one across the country. Now, to have an overnight event where they go into liquidation, you've got 10% vacancies, you've got 30,000 people without jobs, the knock-on effect of, you know, onto their supply chain, we felt that was, you know, probably too radical and something that we should try and prevent literally at all costs.
Yeah.
I accept it's not our business to invest in our tenants' businesses, and I would be lying if I said it hasn't happened in the past, and it definitely will happen in future. It's not something we should be doing. But given the magnitude of the issue and given the current situation, overlay particularly weak economy and just the position that the country's in at the moment, we felt that it was the right thing to do to at least invest and give them a chance at survival, which buys them at least another 2 years to see whether they can turn this thing around.
Very, very quickly, before I let you go, you've already decreased your exposure to Edcon by about 9,000 square meters since the end of 2017. What fills that space?
It's a mix. So we really do cut up the space, you know, whether they're vacating a 3,000 square meter box or a 5,000 square meter box, you probably break it up into 2 or 3 1,500 square meter boxes. There is still, you know, demand from other tenants who want to expand or might have a different brand that they want to bring into the center. So we've been successful in re-letting that. But it's not easy. It's not as if we've got a queue out the door of tenants wanting
Absolutely.
To move into the center.
Well, we know that vacancy levels in South Africa have risen, from 5.2% to 6.5% overall.
Correct.
Let's leave it there. Norbert, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Norbert Sasso is Group CEO of Growthpoint Properties.